listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
When I go back to Mike Hall's situation last year, Tone, I mean, that was a misdemeanor charge. He was still suspended by the league. I mean, they really hammered him. The league really, really knocked him down on that one. And so when it comes to Quinshon Judkins, I'm to assume that the league is going to be the same way, because I was on the phone with you yesterday. I go, this is probably a lost year, depending on what these charges are and what they come out with. And you guys can look at it and go, well, you know, we got to play out. Yes, the court of law does have to play out. I don't know if the court of law matters to the NFL. You're a rookie. There's nothing acquired there. There's nothing accrued there, I should say. And plus, how do the Browns now negotiate a contract with Quinshon Judkins when there's an open misdemeanor domestic violence case? How do you do that? Because if there's discovery and all the other things, you could find out there's going to be so much. We could find out there's nothing more. You could find out there's a bunch more. So now you're just in this limbo where it's like, hey, man, as I see it right now, it seems Jerome Ford may be running back one and Dylan Sampson might be running back two. And Quinshon Judkins, that's just a question mark for the future. And you had brought up just how it'll look from the NFL standpoint of how the season goes, where you had brought up Travis Hunter. You know, that's one where you're going to have to batten down the hatches.
There's been no talk of Travis Hunter after the fan base got whipped into a lather, you know, right before the draft about getting him, talking about him as this all-time prospect where he was going to be a shutdown corner and he was going to be this potent number one wide receiver, one of the more talented guys in recent history. I wasn't buying all of that. But I do remember that, and then poof, the minute we traded him, it's like, oh yeah, remember Travis Hunter?
You're going to have to batten down the hatches regardless on that, because I think that'll probably look good. I mean, Jacksonville's made draft picks before that weren't that good. I just thought that Travis Hunter's going to be a good football player, so he'll probably look good, but you have to play the long game of it going, all right, how much better is he really going to make Jacksonville? And this was all done probably to get your quarterback next year. So you're going to have to play the long game and figure that you're going to be better, but you're going to have to take the heat of it. And real decisions are made, but you're going to have to take the heat of it coming up this summer. 216-474-0092. I'm going to get to the phones here in just a moment. Mitch is back from his vacation. Hello.
Hello.
You brought up another question with us.
Yeah, I wanted to get your guys' take on whether, at what point would this become a concerning pattern for not only the Cleveland Browns, but for Ohio State and Ryan Day. And I asked that because I saw some buzz on social media. There were people saying that because guys like Judkins and Hall had no priors previous to these two separate incidents. I mean, two doesn't make a huge pattern, obviously, but at what point does it become a concern for Ohio State to get somewhere like what we talk about with Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs?
Well, I think with Georgia, it's almost an epidemic of some of the things that have gone on here over the last 5 years. A lot of it just having to do with highway drag racing, for crying out loud, but there's no just about that. I mean, someone died as a result of it once. I think with Ohio State, how many guys are getting arrested as active Ohio State players, though? Is that not what that comes down to for Ryan Day? I mean, I said this.
I mean, Tressel had a bunch. Yeah, Urban Meyer, obviously a Florida.
When it comes to Urban Meyer, Florida,
won back-to-back national championships, and nobody cared as it was going on.
I don't think that. I think as crass as it might be, I think that the whole stuff about Georgia is there for social media fodder as it is. As long as if they turn in an 8-win season at Georgia, I think people will really care. if they keep turning in 10 to 12 win seasons and keep making the playoffs, I don't think people are going to care.
I was going to say, you brought up that thing with Urban Meyer, the back-to-backs. If Ryan Day doesn't win the national title this year, does it become more of an emphasized thing because the fan base gets a little frustrated?
I think that it's, I do. I agree with you. I think that it's used as...
Which Ohio State person cares at all? I mean, Judkins was a model citizen while he was at Ohio State.
I understand that, but I think it's used... It's the same thing with Andrew Berry is what he's saying with. Like, if he doesn't win the national championship, what do people think of Ryan Day right now? Now, Ryan Day has got a lot of cachet now with the state, but before the national championship, I mean, good God, you were talking about a possible replacement plan if they weren't able to beat Tennessee at home in the opening round of the playoffs. They beat the brakes off Tennessee, and it didn't matter after that, and they were off to the races. But if that doesn't happen last year, I think they use it the same way. It's like, I can't hold Ryan Day accountable for this. There is exactly what you said. There's nothing there that tells me that Quinshon Judkins would have done this in his past. I can't hold Andrew Berry accountable for this because there's nothing that told me the same thing about Quinshon Judkins. But it's added on. It's another thing that's thrown on there because regardless, the player's not available to you. So if the player's not available to you and that happens, I think one, yes, I think people use it against him just because it's the land of college football and we look for anything. And two, yeah, this is part of a trend that's gone on here where you've drafted guys that just don't become available to you. And this seems like this has come out of nowhere. The other two, I mean, they had, there were conversations about the other ones, but my God, with this one is a surprise. And while I wouldn't want to put Andrew Berry's feet to the fire on this in particular, you know it's added to the list of what people want to bring up. So, Mitch, thank you very much.
I don't know why you're thanking Mitch.
Why?
I mean, he tried to make it seem like Ohio State is this rogue program all of a sudden.
I thanked him for his time.
Based on two guys in 2 years.
It was me thanking him for his time, and he could move on.
I didn't think Mitch, he deserved the thank you then.
You could, okay, Mitch, you are done
Ken
with the segment.
Ken is a known
Michigan
man, yeah, well, and that's who I am saying when I
You gave a forum to Mitch to come in with some BS thing about how like Ryan Day is a history of bad guys all of a sudden.
Then bring him back in.
We don't even know Judkins is a bad guy.
Nobody said he was a bad guy.
Gave him the forum to act like this is a non-stop issue with Ohio State.
I said it was silly. I'm not putting it on Ryan Day, but you know in the real world, which is the fake world of college football, yeah, if they had not won the national championship, people would have brought this up. What are you yelling at me for?
I just thought it was a ridiculous theme that he was acting like there's been down in Columbus and now in Cleveland. It's a nonstop.
I find it very weird. You used Mitch as your mouthpiece for this one, and I'm a little disappointed in it.
You gave it more credence, honestly, and I think it
you're
deserved.
Disappointed.
A little disappointed in it.
He has his own opinions. He could bring him back down here.
You want to yell at him? You were adamant about we got to get Mitch in here. We got to hear what. He's got this thing.
Because I thought it was a silly premise,
you knew
personally.
What he was do.
You didn't call it silly when he brought it up.
He's standing up there. He don't know what to do. I mean, he's pacing back and forth. He doesn't know whether to come back or whether to answer the phones or anything. Jack and Lorraine, you've confused this young man already enough on his first day back from
Hello,
vacation.
Hello, Jack.
Morning, gentlemen. Ken, I can't believe the reaches you're making this morning. I'm 100% behind Lima. There's no way.
What reaches?
To Andrew Berry at all. This kid has been accused of something.
Hold on. So you're telling me, you know damn well the NFL will probably come down strong on this regardless. You know that, right?
I assume that, and it's okay. Because it's the Browns. They come down harder on the Browns than they do anybody else.
I think they come down just as hard as anybody else. But moving on from that. So you're telling me, Jack, that do you think it's going to be a bad season? You probably think it's not going to be too great a season, right? So if you don't think it's going to be too great a season, you can't tell me that we won't get calls going, well, what do we do with Andrew Berry when you have this, 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 and this, and then you got the Quinshon Judkins? You telling me that somebody, that no caller, no fan, no pundit at all is going to mention Quinshon Judkins later on this year?
I didn't say that at all.
But that's what I'm saying. It's still used against him in the court of the fan. It's still used against him in the court of the fan. That's what I'm saying, Jack.
One other quick point. If I remember correctly, you were a Kareem Hunt fan when he was here. You were upset when they let him get away from here and he re-signed with Kansas City.
No.
Is that right?
No, you are not right.
Okay, but he's still in the league, right?
Yeah.
And when he was here, he performed well, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Laramie Tunsil was drafted, did he have a good 3, 4, 5 years?
What does Laramie Tunsil and Kareem Hunt have to do with anything?
Kareem Hunt had a domestic violence assault charge, and Laramie Tunsil had a marijuana charge. Just because these guys make mistakes,
did not have
doesn't
a charge.
Mean they can't correct
there
their
was,
mistakes.
I don't think that there was career. A. I don't think that there was a charge. Was there a charge?
It was his stepdad putting out a video of him smoking weed out of a gas mask.
One happened with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs were, you're not living in common sense, Jack. Thank you very much for the call. You just made my point for me.
Really?
You admitted
really
that,
went the wrong way into the corner.
You admitted that people were going to call in and throw this one, which is what I said, another log on the fire. They will. If Andrew Berry had a sterling record before this, of course no one's going to say anything. But because it's just the latest in another series of draft picks that have found themselves in trouble, yes, it's going to be used against him at the end. Yes, it's not fair, but that's the way it's going to happen. With Kareem Hunt, what does Kareem Hunt and his situation with the Chiefs have to do with this when he was kicked off the Chiefs? I'm not saying to kick Quinshon Judkins off the Browns.
He's technically focus up. Not on the Browns.
We got to focus up. Technically, he's not even on the Browns right now. We got to focus up a little bit more on a Monday morning.
And unfortunately, he had to do a little covering off the field, which isn't good. The Quinshon Judkins arrest in South Florida and all kinds of weird things around the case. Facts still to be determined. They seem to be a myth at this point. Again, what we do know, he had a friend visit. Something happened 5 days later after spending time together and celebrating her birthday. Authorities are called. He's arrested, spends the night in jail, and was in court yesterday and posted $2,500 bond. And the Browns opened rookie camp on Friday.
And those are the facts.
That's basically all we know, right?
Yep, that's what we know. We don't know what happened. We don't know what sparked the...
whatever incident might have been.
You just don't know. So...
so there you go.
We'll find out.
We do know, again, bad look for the Browns. And Andy, not a look that's that they're not used to having, because they had the exact same thing last year with a second round draft choice from Ohio State. So what do you do here if you're the organization? So far, the Browns have said that we're aware of the situation and we'll have comment at the appropriate time. That's basic. There's been no official word.
Which is
what they should do.
So here's the bigger question, and I don't know for sure. The Browns are pretty much kind of, the fact that this is even a stat or people look this stuff up just doesn't bode well for the NFL. But when you look at it, you're like, okay. So I found two different things. One was on Yahoo, but it was dated April 25th of 2024, and they had, NFL teams with the most players arrested since 2000.
Is this right next to the 1,000-yard rusher list?
I think so. It's right next to that. Points per game. It's right next to points per game.
15.7. Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
Your favorite number?
Yeah. When Yahoo did this, obviously there have been some arrests since then. So at the time, it's weird. The AFC North's all over this thing too. The Ravens were tied for 14th with the Steelers on this thing.
How's the AFC North doing? Pretty good?
They were the first two inside the top 15. Okay. At this time, the Browns had 40 arrests, and this was a little bit more than a year ago.
For what time frame?
Since 2000. The number one team in the thing was the Vikings since 2000 had 57 arrests. Since 2000.
That's cold up
there. And then just I found another one that came through USA Today. Most players arrested for every NFL team since 2015. That had the Browns with 8, and I'm assuming that this would be 9 now. So with 9, that would put the Browns with the Vikings, the Broncos, the Giants, the Ravens. And then there were a couple teams that had 10 or more. Kansas City had 17. This is through USA Today.
So it's not good for any of them.
No, it's not. So my question then is it a Browns problem or is it an NFL problem?
It might be a young man in their 20s problem who play an aggressive game for a living.
It's also skewed by the game itself when you if you want to sit here and compare it to other sports because, I mean, you have what, triple the amount of players on every team that you would compared to a baseball team or a hockey team or a basketball team. So way more than that for basketball.
Yes. So do anything to the offensive plans? I would think not. Because I though Judkins is the centerpiece of what they hope to do on offense, at least that's what we think. You can give the ball to Jerome Ford. You can give it to Dylan Sampson. You can give it to Pierre Strong. You can go sign another running back. That is the one position where if you need one, you just go sign one.
Yeah. I don't want to do this, but, you know, after reading Pro Football Talk, it's like you go to the baseline. Or do you expect him, one, do you expect him to be here for the beginning of the season? That's the first question.
No idea.
I don't know either. No idea. And then we've seen the league do this before where he may make it all the way through the preseason, and then before week one, they say, okay.
Now it's time.
Now we decided that we're going to suspend you on this thing. And again, they don't need to have the facts. They just do what they want. It's the NFL. It's the employer.
Well, it is. And they can call their own shot on this.
Yeah. So if you're Kevin and Andrew, are you saying, so, okay, well, we've got to figure out at least the 6-game plan here to not have him involved? And would anyone have a problem with them going into the season with Jerome Ford, Dylan Sampson, and Pierre Strong?
No. It's just that the guy that you think is the key to the whole thing won't be there, if that's the case.
And then do you just approach it like, okay, it's like getting a player hurt? I mean, I think that's how you have to look at it. Yeah, I don't.
You don't have a choice. And here's the thing. Though you drafted Judkins in the second round, is Sampson a guy who can come in and, you know, be as good as you hope he's going to be?
I think he can.
Sure, why not? Yeah. I mean, as we've talked about with the quarterback, Andy, just because a guy got drafted or signed or whatever doesn't mean he can't come in and be the guy. And what you have to do is answer opportunity when it presents itself. And that's what Dylan Sampson's going to get. I mean, he, to me, is the right now, just based on Judkins' situation, Jerome Ford being passed over, and I'll say passed over, at the bank by having to give up money, but getting guaranteed, and having two rookies drafted, you know, who are coming in, I would think Sampson gets every opportunity here to get carries and to be productive. And keep your fingers crossed that he can answer that. Because it's an opportunity that, you know, wasn't here on Friday. Might not be here this coming Friday, but as you said, it might be here come week one.
Here's another one for you guys too. That the contract situation with Judkins is interesting too, because he hasn't signed his rookie contract yet. For whatever, I don't know how much.
All second, like only two second round draft choices have actually signed because they're dealing with guaranteed money in the final year.
Yeah, and they're waiting. I think a lot of them were waiting to see what Judkins did because he was picked so high.
And I wonder that if, you know, what happens there, and do the Browns hold off on giving him a contract, or does Judkins lose any kind of the limited negotiating power that he had?
92.3 The Fan, breaking news.
From Sham Sharania of ESPN, Cleveland Cavaliers president Kobe Altman has signed a contract extension through the 2029-2030 season. Sources tell ESPN the Cavs front office, including Mike Gansey and Brandon Weems, also received extensions.
There you go.
Cavs keeping Kobe Altman, Mike Gansey, Brandon Weems, according to Sham Sharania of ESPN.
Congratulations to those guys. They did a great job and put a terrific team on the court last year. So we'll see if they can fine-tune it and make it a championship-caliber team.
And if things go sideways, I could sometimes get paid to sit at home.
You can write a big check.
I mean, that's whenever I'm excited for them. Good. I think they've done a nice job.
They cost less than players.
Yeah. They got the team in the direction they always wanted to be in without LeBron James. Let's be honest. And by the way, could LeBron rumors still not,
which by the way is funny,
all over the place.
Brandon Weems, a former LeBron teammate.
Yeah. It just, you look at it and you're just like, okay. So they did a nice job of getting this team moving forward in a post-LeBron era. And do we all wish we had more this year? Yeah, but obviously the Gilbert family appreciates what they've done, this group has, and they've decided to give them a raise. But again, it might as well be the NFL, not for long sometimes. And you never wonder. You're only good season to season, I think, when you're front office. But there's always the beauty of being paid while you're not working. So why am I so negative on that? I should be excited for these guys that they got contracts, but the reality is what have you done for the last 15 minutes, especially the NBA?
So congratulations to them. That's a good deal.
Right. Especially for head coaches too.
Like, let me throw something at you.
Coach of the year. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't mean anything.
I don't want to overreact, but I want to bring this to your attention.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Right now, on the Browns website.
Okay.
They list four running backs. Quinshon Judkins is not listed on the Browns website on their roster.
Is that because he doesn't have a contract, or is that because of the recent news?
I do not know. That I do not know. I'm just stating the fact. Right now, there is no number 10, and they have four running backs listed on the roster, and Quinshon Judkins is not one of them.
I wish we would have looked at this on Friday to see if he was on there then. Right?
Why would you?
I don't know.
Why would you on Friday?
Your kid's birthday was coming up, and you were thinking
about it? I just went to the roster to make sure there were no other additional running backs other than Amani Marshall, who we knew they brought in, and a big guy from Appalachian State, who, by the way, about the size of Quinshon Judkins.
7, 8, 9, 11 on that roster, huh? Oh, boy.
Can I just have a moment of dread?
Sure, go ahead.
Just get it all out. Okay, this is one man's opinion. Why does this keep happening to this organization? There has to be a trend that's taking place inside of here.
It's not just us. It's other teams, too.
Yeah, hold on. Andy gave some numbers about, if we're just flat out looking at this, arrests. So it's not just this organization. But, Dan, are you talking about drama more than arrests?
I'm talking drama. I'm talking arrests. I'm talking anything that is off the field instead of the product on the field, which has been subpar, I think would be the nicest way to put it.
At the very least, inconsistent.
The product on the field has been horrible, except for a couple of exceptions. The one thing that this team has done really well is drama. I mean, they are a fantastic reality TV show. You would sign up to watch this every single week if it was on the E! Network.
Yeah, they've been a top 10 show since 99. Since 94, let's be honest, since 94.
And especially, it feels this way. And again, I'm working off of feelings here. So as you know, facts typically get in the way of feelings and cause you to feel better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like in the Kevin Stefanski era, this has only gotten worse. The Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski era, we should give everybody a little bit more. It feels like they definitely have a mindset where it, again, feels when it comes to a lot of these guys. And there's something going on in there that needs to come to a halt, because I have a feeling a chunk of your fan base is starting to get embarrassed with the team that's being put out there, that's running into more off-season issues.
The only thing
on-field successes.
Daniel, the only thing I'd say about that, and it's no excuse, but it's true, is that, as Andy said, I mean, this is a league-wide thing. Now, our quarterback situation, you know, and everything that went on with Deshaun Watson, that's a different story. That takes it to a different level. But it's a league-wide situation. It's a league-wide deal. Scott Patrack covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read his work at brownzone.com. We'll get his thoughts on all this next, right here on Baskin and Phelps.
We got planned to get to on today's show, but obviously the big news of the weekend was Quinshon Judkins being arrested in Broward County, Florida for misdemeanor domestic violence. We're not going to do, I know when the police report came out, I knew that that's been read on air. I think if you have any history with that, which my family does, it's going to be a little triggering to read. I don't think we need to relitigate that. There are places to find that. But I think, you know, the NFL has declined comment. The Browns have said they're looking into this matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, I, like everyone else, had the same reaction when this came out, which was, oof, not again. And obviously, this harkens back to Michael Hull Jr. last year in August. But it goes beyond that. It goes into the recent Perrion Winfrey. It goes into
Mike McDowell.
Even to a bigger degree, the Deshaun thing. And it really is like I was just kind of turning the corner and being like, cannot wait to see this. Quinshon is a big part of that. And I think that probably was another big gut punch, was equal parts. I think a lot of Browns fans are excited about Quinshon, the player.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had the reminder that, oh, hey, Quinshon's here, which means Nick Chubb isn't. There were just a lot of ways in which that was a gut punch.
Well, the Nick Chubb part of that, too. That's what a lot of people focused in on. It's like, yeah. If you just signed Nick Chubb, we wouldn't have to worry about this. And now we don't know what the running game is going to be at all this upcoming season. Because if it's Ford and Sampson, that's not going to be anything that elicits a bunch of confidence.
Yeah, well, because I don't think anybody sees Jerome, who I think
he's... Jerome. You know I like Jerome.
I think he's almost a little underrated. He put up really good stats last year behind a bad O-line. I still think Jerome can be a significant piece of this thing going forward, even though it looks like he's going to spend one more year here and go off because they've got Judkins and Sampson. But I can't blame Browns fans for looking at this and just putting it as another check mark against Andrew Berry. Because even though the reports on Quinshon was that this was not even on anyone's radar in the pre-draft process,
mm-hmm.
that he was a pretty clean prospect.
Well, so that's what makes this hard for me. It's like, so he's a pretty clean prospect, but are they just avoiding some of what should be red flags, even though you have what is a clean prospect with no off-the-field records? But is there something they're missing, continually missing with some of these guys that are clean until they're not? And also on the other side of this, how much can I actually put at the feet of Andrew Berry when you have somebody that is perceived to be just that, a clean prospect, and then something like this happens, and he's only been in the building for a couple months?
So this is a great point. That first point that you made of how much can you put at Andrew Berry's feet, but like what's your process look like? Teams are, and there's a big reason for it. Teams usually skirt the idea of what due diligence they do about people off the field. I think the Browns preceding Andrew Berry have shown you with their handling of Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert on up through other prospects that their process does leave something to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another thing of like, all right, was he clean or did you just not inspect who he was and what might be out there about
Or did you think you're getting a little bit of a, and I didn't get this vibe, by the way, with the NFL draft at all. Did you think you're getting any sort of value with Judkins? Because it's not, no one when they took him at 36 was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that was first round talent that happened to go to 36. It's like, no, he was, you know, maybe second round, early second round, and you got him in the appropriate spot. Like, it's so confusing because, like, Andrew Berry comes from the Howie Roseman, we'll take Jalen Carter and anybody that comes with problems school of thought. And so we know they open their arms to these guys. But in the case of Judkins, how much of this should they actually be tasked with when he hadn't shown any signs previously of being a nuisance or a problem?
Yeah. And I think, because again, I think you have to open the door of, all right, well, what does your process look like? They're not going to tell you that, even though we do know a fair amount of teams might have. They might have a whole team of guys designed to fix situations like this. That doesn't mean that they do the greatest job researching any of these kids. And the reality is, I'd never heard anything like this from Judkins. It doesn't matter. Because it doesn't really matter when you had the Mike Hall thing. Who the reason Mike fell was some immaturity concerns that then played out in the legal system. Perrion was a fourth round pick when he could have been a second round pick because of things and maturity issues and things that ended up in the legal system. Obviously, you traded for Deshaun after he was accused of all this stuff and then helped him navigate through the waters of that in a way that didn't necessarily help anyone, including Deshaun trying to get settled here in Cleveland. So, like, when it comes to Quinshon, I'm liable to believe, like, if they really did do a thorough search on him, I'll take their word on it. It's just not going to matter because you've already had your three strikes and then some. So like it becomes a zero sum thing of, well, it didn't really matter if you did this. It didn't really matter how much you investigated him. The reality is this is what happened, and it's showing a clear sign of off the field issues and bringing these guys in. And the problem with that is when you're Howie Roseman, you can do it because you're winning 13 games a year.
Right.
The sad reality is in the NFL, you only really get to do this and have this as a habitual part of your program if the on-field results. Fans will look to some degree the other way. But that is based in success.
Yeah, but so I think the difference here, though, is so like Howie, for instance, can go after Jalen Carter. And in many instances, the Browns, when Barry was going after Perrion Winfrey, who had elite talent, but obviously went in the fourth round for reasons that we know, or go after Deshaun Watson, or go after any of these other guys that come with known problems ahead of time. I look at that very differently than I look at this with Quinshon. Like, I just do. Now, I do think there's a problem in how they assess people and players and everything under the sun, for sure. But, like, this isn't them taking Quinshon with the idea that he had an incident pop up his junior year or his, you know, he had an incident pop up at Ole Miss, and all of a sudden they should have been alarmed to the idea that he's a problem. Like, this is just, this was out of the blue and seemingly out of character for him in many ways.
Yeah, but you still have the track record. Like at some point, there's some disconnect there that if it continues to happen, and I understand, like, some of this guys is just, it is the business you're in. Like, you it's very rare you're going to find 54 altar boys at any given point. But listen, if this was the first of the incidents you could fall back on, man, everybody seemed to think that this wasn't going to be an issue with him. But the reality is there were just so many things. And I do think, like, I think they have kind of even pointed out with some of their moves that they have, you know, Mason Graham, that's a character guy. Dylan Gabriel is a character guy.
I wonder if they thought Quinshon was a character guy too, though. That's the problem. Like, somewhere in their assessment, they've gotten this wrong. And somewhere in their assessment, but it's so tough to tell them they got it wrong when, I mean, how can you predict somebody's going to eventually allegedly strike a girl that he's dating? Like, that seems like such a hard thing to be like, I know that this is going to eventually happen with this guy, or this guy seems like the type of character to eventually have this happen, when we have no track record of that. It seems so hard to do.
216-474-0092. Should Andrew Berry be taking heat for the latest misstep legally from a Cleveland Browns player, Quinshon Judkins, being arrested for misdemeanor domestic battery over the weekend? And I just think, like, at some point, I can't give you the benefit of the doubt, even if we look at the prospect and understand that there weren't any known issues in the first place. It's kind of your job to know to find out whether there are known issues or not. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians at 3:20. Jace LaViolette. Get ready to know that name. The Gardo's taking him 27th in the first round, and a big change in how they draft. That actually does matter to how we think of the organization anyways. We got the Peterlin Pass coming up at 3:40, and then Sam Bruckhaus, Sumer Sports at 4. We will get into all the ins and outs of where he thinks this Browns team is, where they project the Browns to be, and, of course, the top 10 quarterback list that had a familiar name atop it. Did not please Browns fans altogether, but 216-474-0092. Anik Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Should Andrew Berry be taking heat for this, and what this means for the Browns running back room in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
News over the weekend that was not good, and again, Dan has said this, and he says it with humor, but with real real thought. Okay, three things can happen now. You can sign somebody, you can get a contract extension, or somebody can get arrested. That's what happens during this period. It's Menigan's line. I give him credit for that. And guess what? Somebody got arrested. It's Quinshon Judkins arrested on delayed battery. There are facts to be determined here. If you haven't heard, all of the reports say something of this sort. There was some incident after somebody left an airport, and then supposedly girlfriend, friend, female friend, whatever, stayed with Quinshon Judkins for 5 days.
Okay.
Celebrated her birthday, then called authorities. 5 days after alleged incident, calls authorities. Kid gets arrested. Kid does a night in the pokey.
Mm-hmm.
and then is in court yesterday and had to post bond.
It's pretty amazing.
And is out.
They have court on Sunday?
That's what I thought.
The first thing I thought, I was like, wow, they must have a lot.
Well, it is Fort Lauderdale.
A lot of work down there to do if they're going to have court on Sunday.
Got a lot of busies going on there. Andy?
Yeah.
Last year, Mike Hall Jr., second round pick, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condemning Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Quinshon Judkins, second round pick, Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I'm still not condemning Ohio State here. Coincidence? Bad background checks? What? Bad period. We know that.
I don't know. Like, I, Jeff, you know, you and I have been in this business a long, long time.
Yes, sir.
Right? And
kid may not be guilty of anything. Maybe he is. We'll find out.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, as the older I get and just the more we hear these stories, like, it's almost like to the point where I just want to say, here's exactly what we know. And to not get into passing judgment, to not get into speculating, to not getting into the nitty gritty, because I just, a lot of times, and I'm not saying that where we are in this story is anyway, there's a lot of times where all the hype and all of the things that happen when these initial incidences happen, they just kind of never live up to the hype. And if they're not, I don't know what I'm trying to, if they're not as big of a story as maybe they should be or shouldn't be. I think we're in such a hurry. Our business, our industry tries to pass judgment on people and things before they get their due process and all those things. Here's what I will tell you. It's not a good look for the Browns. It's not a good look for Quinshon Judkins. So obviously
there's the fact there.
I mean,
that we know. That's true.
I mean, a court of public opinion isn't right on these things. And I just don't know. I'm being honest with you. You read what we think we know or what we have from news sources. CBS News out of Miami said, according to records obtained by CBS News Miami, the NFL running back was arrested and charged with misdemeanor domestic battery on Saturday and appeared in bond court on Sunday. During the hearing, the judge found probable cause and ordered Judkins to not be in contact with the victim, no firearm access, and set his bond at $2,500. However, his attorney, David Weinstein, disagreed with the judge and said, "Your Honor, I think the state is overstating the facts." And you'll hear during the hearing, it's alleged that there is an incident that occurred.
Exactly. Alleged enough that he got arrested, which, you know, that's...
But it doesn't take much. I mean, it doesn't... allege a lot.
No, it doesn't. So you know, you've got to withhold judgment. They'll figure some things out. The thing that's most factual that we know is what you just said. It's not a good look.
It's just not. I mean, that's all.
It's not a good look.
It's just not a good look for the NFL. Not a good look for, you know, the Browns. Not. I mean, you said I'd say Ohio State twice in there too. So yeah. You know where you come from. You know, it's like what you say to your kids. It's like what you say to your kids. Don't forget, you represent the name on the back of your jersey, which is ours, right? Every time they go out.
These are two guys who were drafted to be big parts of this. And both have had some issues. And then Mike Hall with injuries on top of it. So hopefully he's able to be out on the football field and is able to stay on the field and not have any issues. And we'll see what the deal is with Quinshon Judkins. Obviously, something happened that led to an arrest. And to draw any conclusions further than that, Andy, other than what you said, which is absolute truth, it's perception, it's a bad look, I think is not a good idea. So we'll let that play out. However, I do think it's fair and reasonable to think, all right, what if he's not able to start the season with this team?
Well, I do too, because the league doesn't care. The league doesn't. Correct. There's no due process for the league. If you embarrass the Shield, and it doesn't matter if it's your fault or not, they tend to say...
Doesn't matter if they're legal charges or not.
Yeah, they don't care.
Whatever.
Well, you're going to sit out for a little bit. Let's make sure that this is what it is. I think from a football standpoint, you have to ask yourself, okay, what does this do to the running back situation? If you want to do it from the football standpoint.
And we will. Ready for Jerome Ford?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I thought Jerome Ford would probably.
You ready for Dylan Sampson?
Yeah, I was ready for Dylan Sampson. I just think that the thought process of having Judkins and Sampson right away and maybe making Ford expendable, or Pierre Strong clearly expendable, one of those two guys, to have to cut, you know, who's going to get cut? And if Judkins is on the restricted list from the league office, that probably gives someone a job maybe for 6 weeks that might not have had it, where you don't count against the roster. So maybe. If Judkins doesn't count against the roster, then Dylan Sampson's going to get a ton of work, and now you're happy that you have Jerome Ford, and Jerome Ford's probably happy that he took a pay cut to stick around, because I thought Ford would be here anyway, but this might change the perception of the offense if you have to take Judkins out of it. It does. There's no question. It's not. That's a fact. If Judkins isn't in the offense, it changes everything.
It makes you, makes me glad, although I was glad anyway, that they drafted two running backs. You know, for we weren't expecting this, but guys get dinged up. You kind of thought you need some depth there. I thought they needed some depth there. They have some depth there. It might be put to the test. We'll see if Judkins is able to report this week. I would assume he can. Right? I would assume they let him report. He's able to.
Yeah, until the team or the league says no, he's got to go to work.
I would think that's the case. Yeah. And
you really don't want to miss the rookie stuff when you first get here.
You fall behind.
Yeah, you just don't want to be that guy. On top of everything else, of being that guy that's in the news now for something that's off the field, whether you had control over that or not. I wonder how many people saw the story and go, oh, can we get Nick Chubb back?
I'm sure that came up.
I'm sure the Browns fans are like, wow, man, why do we let Chubb go? Why do we let Chubb go? I mean, four weeks into the season, it won't matter. But
we do know why they let Nick Chubb go.
Yeah.
Wanted to go young guys, concerned about Nick's health, concerned about Nick's age. And it's not like any other team signed him to be the starting running back. He'll get carries in Houston, I hope, and I hope he does great. So we'll see what he's able to do. Here, it's kind of this to me. I think last week we were talking about the guys that we're most intrigued about seeing in training camp and seeing what they can do. Judkins was the guy one of the guys we talked about. We were really interested in seeing him.
He has come up in every conversation.
Because everything this team is talking about is going back to a run-based offense. Dominate by the run. How were you going to dominate by the run? By having a sledgehammer type of running back who big, strong, physical, and can pound the ball inside, has burst to get to the outside. And he is that more than Dylan Sampson, and I think he is that more than Jerome Ford. And he was, to me, the centerpiece of what they're planning to do on offense. Still can be, obviously. Still can be. But it's like, oh, man. Seriously? Everybody's going to have to deal with this now.
The harder part, I think, is when you go back and look at last year and before Mike Hall got hurt. I mean, guys were saying stuff about Mike Hall how amazing he was going to be and the reality of life outside of football hits some of these players, and you wonder where the level of football importance goes when you're just trying to, stay out of trouble. I'm looking forward to seeing Mike Hall play this year. And the other part of it is that, when you have this kind of issue, it brings Mike Hall back up to the forefront of talking about, oh, didn't this just happen last year? Oh, didn't we have the similar kind of.
Well, guess what? It's a fact. So you have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, does it say anything about the organization, folks? 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. I wonder what it says about the organization, Andy. Are they not doing enough background checks on guys? Or did you just happen to have two guys who just happened to have two things come up that you weren't thinking were going to come up? I mean, you see it all around the league. And there's more. Devin Bush is still dealing with some things.
So Yahoo Sports did a story. Let me bring this up when we come back. I'll bring this up when we come back on the other side.
All right. Browns in a situation now. Their second overall pick, second round draft choice, who to me is the centerpiece of what they're trying to do on offense this year. yeah, you're going through quarterbacks, but you're going to be handing off to a guy, and you drafted him in the second round, and you drafted him in the second round because you think he's going to be the guy. Well, he has some things going on right now where he might not be able to be the guy. To what extent? We don't know. What happened? We don't know. What we do know? Bad look, and then he has some things to deal with. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Coming up in a little bit, what actually makes a star. I like that idea of the home run derby party as well. You can't sit there and complain about the sport dying.
Yeah,
and
I think that's awesome. I mean, not so awesome for you, Owen, because
glad the kids are involved.
You had to drive
it's
them
home. It's not awesome at all. That was fine. I was on my phone the whole Caden's in Fargo. I'm watching him, it was the whole deal.
Well, I wish we could talk about that for the entire show, but we got to get back to the business at hand. So yesterday, there were a lot of people who wanted. There were a lot of people who wanted us to sit there and say that this woman who has thrown these or has made this criminal complaint at Quinshot Judkins. They wanted us to say some really irresponsible stuff about her that just was not going to happen. Like, you can say whatever you want to on the internet without fear of reprisal. Lyman and I can't, so you have to call it down the line as best you can until every person has their say in a court of law on this.
Honestly, Kenny, it was unfathomable to me.
Oh, and we've just been through this.
Well, we've just been through this so many times that we've kind of got it down to a science now where we can't get too careful or comfortable. Well, here's what I'm saying. Like, me and you were adamant yesterday that we were both not going to go off the rails on Judkins until we got some facts. And we were also not going to victim shame, which I could not believe the sheer amount of people who are comfortable doing that. And they just pick their side in domestic violence cases. They pick sides. Like, I can't believe people do that. Now, we're supposed to have a little more of a responsibility, actually a lot more, because we can't come on the air and say things that aren't facts and speculate on something. We weren't there. We weren't in the car. We don't have pictures. We don't have videos.
I can only go from reports videos come out.
And we played comments, or we shared comments from the defense attorney. So we did make it clear, like, yes, that's what a defense attorney typically says. It was almost out of central casting, the things that the defense attorney was saying. But we're like, we're going to share these because he is the advocate for the Browns player.
Yeah. And I haven't heard anything from a prosecutor yet. Right. And we just got the report yesterday.
We're going to share those. We are not going to do this. We have a court case that is going to happen, or at least we'll see what how the situation, you know, the litigation, how it presents itself. But I'm glad you guys can feel comfortable going on social media, just trashing either one side or the other. Like, we're never going to do that.
Social media, again, you can create how many different accounts and just go after whatever and do all that stuff, especially in some of the social media platforms that are out there. So there is a several paragraph report here that spans two different pages. I'm not going to read the whole complaint.
There's that much of a complaint?
Well, there's just several paragraphs of the setup and what initiated the possible argument that escalated to physical confrontation with allegedly with Quinshot Judkins and the woman involved here. Stated that she arrived at Fort Lauderdale Airport, defendant on Monday, July 7th, late in the evening. Victim stated that after departing the plane, she used the restroom. The victim stated she emerged from the restroom and then proceeded to baggage claim with the defendant. The victim stated that at baggage claim, the defendant stated, "Oh, wow, I can't believe you, and I'm so done with you." The victim stated she had no clue as to why the defendant stated this. The victim then entered a Lamborghini SUV rental vehicle that was already waiting for them at the airport. The victim advised they exited the airport in the vehicle. The victim stated the defendant was showing frustration after he read text messages from family members. The victim stated she was trying to explain to the defendant that the messages were not true. The victim stated she suffers from anxiety, began to stutter while explaining herself. The victim stated that the defendant then punched her in the mouth, chin area with a closed fist. The victim still had visible bruising on her chin area. The victim showed me, being the officer who's writing this report, showed me a photograph that she took the following day of her chin lip area. The bruising was clearly evident. Later in the statement, the victim stated that the defendant turned around while he was driving as she got back into the back seat. The victim stated that the defendant turned around while he was driving and struck her additional times in the left arm and thigh. The victim had visible bruising on her left arm and thigh. The victim also displayed photographs that were taken just after the incident with similar bruising. The victim stated that while the defendant was striking her in the instant, she began to kick her feet in his direction to defend herself. It goes on from there, but those are the two big things.
And I mean, this got reported. And as we know, the NFL, because that's the question that is in front of us. And, whether or not, you know, the relationship between these two, how it went south, I remember a lot of people, you know, yesterday were talking about why did she come forward right away, as if we don't have, you know, endless domestic violence cases that explain a lot of that. It's disheartening to, you know, two young people that know each other. It's disheartening to see anything like that. So we're going to look at the football side of things because we have to talk about that. We're a sports talk radio station and people want to know how seriously the NFL is going to take this. You know, the details, they were in the New York Post yesterday. I mean, as a national publication, so the New York Post, you had national NFL writers weighing in on this. And what, Kenny, do we know about the NFL when they step in on things like this?
Well, they're going to protect the shield as best they can. So they already don't like this. So that means there's already probably a suspension coming around, depending on what the investigation shows.
And I would assume
significant size.
Yes.
Plus, I don't know how, but the suspension gets a little bit muddy because, again, he has not signed to a contract yet. So what do you do about the contract? Do you sign a contract as soon as you possibly can? I don't know. Again, I don't even know if he's allowed in the state right now or allowed to leave the state that he got arrested in.
The commissioner's exempt list, you know, has been used in situations like this, but that is basically suspended with pay.
Well, you can exempt them, then suspend them, correct? Yeah. I think that's what happened with Michael Hall.
But you're going to get paid, but you're not going to be with the team. All right, but how is he getting paid?
I have to go back and check that record, but I think it's happened before.
This is a little more of a bizarre circumstance. Either way, I mean, I'd be shocked if he's not missing at least a third of the season. And, you know, we had Zach Jackson yesterday talking about just how big of a deal it is when somebody is not there in their first camp. You hear guys in the NFL talk about how they were put behind the eight ball and never, never recovered.
So yesterday there was, you know, we asked the question and there were a lot of people, well, how can you blame it on the Browns? There's been no previous instance of this. There was no warning signs, any of this. There was nothing said that Quinshon Judkins could be trouble. And then this story comes out, and it seemed that immediately a lot of people changed their mind on that, where it's like, now it's the Browns' fault, which I have to tell you, Tone, what's right is right in the argument, where I'd said it's another log on the fire against them. Like, a lot of people, once they saw the report, Tom Pelissero had put it out, once a lot of people had read the details of this report, of these allegations in this case that we're getting into here, is that they changed their mind. And, well, this is why they're a moribund franchise. This is why I can't take them seriously. Unserious franchise. Like, it got to that part. And I thought, well, again, the truth of, if they didn't know, if nobody had any inclination, the people who do, the former FBI people who do these background checks and all this, if there was nothing there saying that there was any sort of a warning, the question was, how could you blame the Cleveland Browns? And my issue was, in this case, you wouldn't, but at the end of all of it, you would. And all it took was the details for a lot of people to change their minds and go, this is why the Browns are the Browns. I told you this would happen. Is where you can say, hey, that's a tough break for Andrew Berry in the grand scheme of things, as you drafted a guy in the second round who, right before camp, has these allegations thrown against him, which are really ugly when it comes down to the police report there. But that's the entire case of it there. It's a frustrating thing for a fan base, and even though, you know, I can't blame Andrew Berry for drafting the guy, it's still going to be thrown against him. Fair or unfair, that's the way it's going to go. And it showed yesterday afternoon after this report came out.
And I get all that, obviously. Every player, whether they get injured, whether they're busts, you know, whether they're nowhere near as good as where you drafted them, they all go in the same bucket of, did the player work out or did the player not work out? And unfortunately, coming off a 3-14 year, I think this is the lowest the fan base has probably been on Andrew Berry. Like, I can't imagine that his approval rating has been worse than it is right now. And so I don't know how. As short of them getting off to a good start, and we've all seen the schedule, I have no idea how he's going to rebound from this at all, and everything else that's happened.
You have to understand how much of the offense I thought was going to have to be tailored around Quinshon Judkins to set this thing up. Now, I don't know very much. I saw Dylan Sampson in college, but there's nothing there that I certainly didn't see as much Dylan Sampson as I saw Quinshon Judkins. And you saw that, hey, one's a second-round pick, one's a fourth-round pick. You take one to be an heir apparent, and now the guy who's supposed to be an heir apparent, I don't know when we're going to see him. I have no idea when we're going to see him, and clearly he has things that are more serious in his life than playing for the Cleveland Browns. He's got to get some things figured out here when it comes to the law before he's able to rejoin this football team. And then, well, he's got to get things figured out with the law, and then he's got to get things straightened out with the NFL before he's ready to rejoin this football team and contribute at all. So as of right now, I have to see this after this report comes out, that this is a lost season for Quinshon Judkins. That puts your offense already in a tough spot. And your offense was one of the worst in the league last year. And I believe by some metrics, the worst since 1999 when it comes to your total team offense. This is a tremendous blow. Tremendous.
So we had somebody tweeting us both. Saying, you know, we know, or he knows that we want Andrew fired, but you can't blame him for the Judkin things. I believe Kevin was really my source of frustration last year at the end of the season. I don't necessarily think Andrew's done a tremendous job, but I think there's a chance he could be fired this year, but I don't really want him to be. I just think Andrew, this is one of those things where if you were coming off 11-6, I don't know it impacts Andrew Berry the same way as if you were coming off 3-14 and the failure of the Deshaun trade, which he germinated, or his front office germinated, which is the worst trade in NFL history. I don't think it's hyperbole to say Andrew Berry needs a win right now. And at the very least, he doesn't need another L like this.
No, he definitely needs a win. I have a hard time putting this as an L at his feet right now. I just do. And this is where we started to get to in the first segment. Like the idea that, there's other ones that you can predict and you can see coming, and they roll the dice. And I think Andrew Berry, and guys like Perrion Winfrey, he was willing to do that early on in his time there. But with Quinshon, we didn't have any sort of red flags or any sort of signs that anything like this was coming. And it's not as if he's been in the building and he's been around the Browns for a long time. It's been there for 2 months, you know, and it's just like, I just don't, if we were to consult everyone else across the league and how many teams would have taken Quinshon Judkins out because of character concerns, that answer would have been zero.
That is, so I will say, I think you're driving at something that is fair. If this was a ISA, meaning like, we didn't have Mike Hall before that, we didn't have Perry on, we didn't have Deshaun, because that's, we're averaging one incident a year here. With people he brought in. It's not like this is a John Dorsey thing. I do think it's going to be really interesting because this always comes out over the next 7 to 10 days. Do we have any of the NFL reporters saying, hey, actually other teams did look into Quinshon?
And that would change it completely,
by the
way.
And I think that's going to be what...
That would completely change my tune on this.
To me, that's where I think if... Because here's the thing. To me, it's a pattern. Even though Quinshon maybe didn't fit the profile of the other guys you brought in that had problems, you can't deny that the others happen. But I will say, all of a sudden, I would be probably tune up that heat a little bit on Andrew if it does turn out at any point that all the Browns really had to do again, much like many of the cases of guys who've gotten in trouble here previously, all you had to do was look and they didn't look. That, I think, will be something that could really turn this into an even worse situation.
Only thing I can find, and trust me, I searched high and low because it's part of our job to be able to research and try to find these things out, but you just can't find anything credible at his time at Ole Miss before Ohio State. But the idea was is that there are certain message boards and certain fashions of that that college, they believe that basically that end came because Lane Kiffin got frustrated with him, got tired of dealing with him. He wanted a lot of money, and they basically offered him pennies with the idea of we'd rather see you leave than hang around. And that's the only sign of anything that comes remotely close to him being a problematic human.
Now, how the arrest for misdemeanor domestic battery of the weekend, I think, should impact how we think here. Beyond a lot of the obvious reaction if you read the police report, stuff like that, I do think that until proven otherwise, we should expect this to impact his rookie year in some way because... You follow this out to what happened with Mike Hall Jr. or really any, but there is, this is set in stone now in the CBA as part of the personal conduct policy. And if it goes down one or two avenues, I think we can, at this point, I'd be surprised if there wasn't something involving the league from here.
Well, the NFL doesn't care about whether or not they think you actually are guilty or not guilty. Yes. They care about the perception of it all. And the perception of it right now, and if you read the police report, it is, that does him no favors, okay? Yeah. And so the perception right now is not great for him. So I would expect six games, and if he ends up getting it pleaded down and he gets one or two games knocked off, okay. But I'm living with the idea that it's going to be six games and we'll start and we'll go from there.
And if something, I think that should be the expectation.
It's kind of like Ortiz with the Guardians, where it's like, right as of right now, until we hear otherwise, I'm just assuming he's not playing baseball for the rest of the season.
Yep.
You come with evidence that shows me otherwise, okay, we can talk. But as of right now, you should play with that the assumption attached to that. Same thing here with Judkins.
And I just think, specific to the running back room, I think whether it's Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson or really any of the other guys in that room, this does afford you an even bigger opportunity. I think we probably have all slept on Jerome a little bit. When I say we, I'm including myself here.
Not me, though, right? We can take me off of that? Excuse me?
I feel like we've equally slept on Jerome.
Excuse me?
We're on the lesser end of the Jerome Ford sleeping.
How many times have I yelled about his yards per attempt to you?
I don't honestly know you ever have.
Is he gaslighting me right now, Mac?
I promise.
Is he gaslighting me?
I'm not attempting to do this. These are not my shenanigans.
You might be gaslighting me right now.
JP has gone a bad for Jerome quite a bit.
Can you pull sound of it? Because I honestly...
What?
This doesn't even sound familiar
to
me.
I might not even want this defense a few months from now, okay? So we might have this... This might be a good thing that you're trying to, like, Men in Black erase any Jerome Ford love that I've had.
I'll give it to you if you believe you've done it. Because I believe you. Why would you gaslight me to the opposite?
Hey, if you want to remove me from any sort of attachment I have with certain players, and we can just start the whole thing fresh outside of Shador, obviously, then we can do this whole thing.
No, it's no nothing. You gotta pull back on that too.
I'm a little surprised. I like that Max at least got the memory to back it up here. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, we've gotten in yards per attempt debates forever. Jerome Ford averaged over 5 yards attempt per carry last year. I'm big into yards per attempt. There go, he's my type of running back.
All right, so I do think this gives him an even... I think
he's a home run hitter.
Well, I think given that he's on a one-year deal, I think Jerome probably had a little bit more... This whole thing was cooked a little bit more in the books of Quinshon Judkins, stylistically, because Quinshon profiles as a bell cow back, Jerome doesn't. But if you look at it, he's also on a one-year deal, and Quinshon, although he's yet to sign his contract, which is another interesting part of this... There were a lot of things that, like, I think Quinshon probably didn't have to do that much to take this job. This is the kind of thing, if you don't know when this kid's going to be available, all of a sudden that could really go in favor of Jerome going into a contract
year.
Well,
not only Jerome, but also how about Dylan Sampson, too? Yep. I mean, like, when we interviewed Dylan Sampson a couple weeks ago, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago, somewhere in that age? Somewhere in that range. I think you were off for that day. And I remember, like, laying it out for Dylan. I was like, does it bother you a little bit that you were the SEC Offensive Player of the Year? You were he set all sorts of different rushing records at Tennessee. Basically, when it came to college football, there's nothing more that man could accomplish next to winning a Heisman. Like, there's nothing more he could have done. Going into that playoff game against Ohio State, the game plan was tried to stop him, and they were able to do so. But that's why they won the game as handily as they did. And I remember, like, Dylan was very humble about it all, and he had such a, well, you know, I could be better in certain areas approach, but I want to almost yell for him. Like, he is very, very talented. And this type of thing, we talk about Wally Pipp all the time in sports radio in general, but this is the type of thing. Like, maybe you get Wally Pipped in this, and Sampson in the first 6 weeks, while Judkins is on the sideline, showcases why he was so good in college.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting. Sampson and Ford kind of profile is similar backs, meaning... I hate the term change of pace in 2025, but that's kind of how they've been thought of. Receiving, third down back, speed guys, home run hitters. We've thrown a bunch of football jargon at it. I would imagine that these guys, because here's the thing. I don't know. I think the Browns know they need to return to the running game. And if you don't have one guy like Judkins who might be able to give you 20 rushes a game, and then you got another guy that gives you 10 or whatever, well, then between the three or four guys you have, if Quinshon's not out there, everybody gets 10 carries, and we'll see, you know, we'll play the hot hand on any given day.
And it's what they might end up having to do. I'll be interested to see how they actually appropriate out the touches. and how this changes what their offensive game plan is and everything else with the sorts. But this is an opportunity for Samson in a big time way. And I'm chalking it up. Like, let's see what you did. As a fourth round back, we can't expect things.
So this is difficult because on one hand, I look at it and go, well, Jerome's a nice piece. I think the two run, I actually like both running backs, even though like a lot of people, I probably would have skewed Travion more than I would of Quinshon. But I think they didn't because they knew they had Jerome there. And I do think that's like one potential flaw in the Death Star here is I think Quinshon's your only bell cow back. And that is, that could be something that rears its head early in the season if that's when, if he does see a suspension, that would be the time you kind of need him up against bigger defenses, better defenses, and against better teams.
Well, you can see why a lot of Browns fans immediately went to why Nicholas Jamal Chubb is not on the team and how devastating that is now.
Yeah, you know what's with, and the worst part is, I'd even just started to forget he was with the Texans. So
Were you like, go get him?
My first thought is, well, it opens the door for, oh, he's in Houston.
Well, how much, it's not like Houston, so Houston's got a battle right now. They have like four different running backs that are basically battling for their starting job. It's not like Houston wouldn't be open. It just, the problem would be you'd have to give up some sort of draft compensation to then get Nick Chubb back, which would be one of the, it would be one of the biggest omissions of we screwed up.
All right.
That you just can't, I just don't think you can do in the NFL.
I'm not saying, I think there's a good chance he wins the job. I actually think Nick ends up being their bell cow back at some point this year. I would actually lock that. I'm going to lock that in. All right. So much
very
like your Jerome
you.
Ford
very
love.
Brave of you.
He's got Joe Mixon in front of him who's got money. That actually is more of a stronger take. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very brave of you. Thank you for all your service today. And when walking in a very supportive Nicholas Jamal Chubb is going to be a bell cow back in Houston
take. I love your take that you're a big yards per carry guy.
I am a big yards per carry guy.
There's people who are against that.
You were when you were fighting for Nick Chubb last year when he was getting 3.1 yards per carry. That was the argument. You said you weren't a big yards per carry guy.
No, I said that's not the only thing that tells the tale of the tape. In the last three games, he looked better than the first three games.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no.
I don't know about that one.
Oh, no, Johnny Gaslight. I'm not letting you have this one.
You already gaslighted me once. This is not going to go down where I gaslight you in return.
Forgetting something is not the same thing as gaslighting someone. I'm allowed to forget a take that you had about Jerome Ford when we haven't had the conversation in 6 months.
We should explore that a little bit. Is forgetting something the same as gaslighting somebody? I'm not sure at this point.
I think that's a form of gaslighting right there.
I know.
216-474-0092. What does this mean? What is if Quinshon does end up missing time for a suspension this year off on the heels of the misdemeanor domestic battery arrest? What does this mean for the Browns running back room?
By the way, first six games of the season we've already talked about until we, I mean, geez, if we've mentioned how hard it is, Frank Schwab, when he came on with us a month ago, said it's the hardest schedule he's seen for the first 6 weeks in 20 years of covering football. Think about how much harder it makes if you don't have a run game.
A big, bold prediction for your Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.